hear that? That's a sound of freedom. Those are 4th of July fireworks in my neighborhood. In this episode, I want to talk about human dignity, oppression, and leadership. And I'm going to explain how it's all connected. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so what you're hearing in the background are 4th of July fireworks in my neighborhood. I went out and just recorded some of this. So our municipal fireworks were canceled just like everywhere else, or most other places that they were canceled. And something really amazing happened. There was more of a display in my neighborhood here in Charleston, South Carolina, than there was. I mean, it was like I look around in 6 or 7 different directions. There were pretty significant fireworks going off. Now, historically, there had always been a couple neighbors that were shooting stuff off somewhere, you know, down one street or down another. But it was nothing like this. There's a real lesson here in this reaction that people have to, oh, well, you shut down our municipal fireworks. We're going to have our own fireworks display. Now, I live south of the border. When I say south of the border, I mean if you go up 95, as you go between South Carolina and North Carolina, there's like 100 billboards, and then you get to a place called South of the Border, where it's like the last legal place that you can buy fireworks, because fireworks are legal in South Carolina. And so, I live in South Carolina where it's legal to shoot off fireworks. That's fine. What I found fascinating was that two things. One, that we were shooting it off as much as it was. And I'm thinking, like, why are we paying for municipal fireworks each year where I have to drive to that location? And it's a nicer display, but it was pretty significant. And the second one was this. Even where it was illegal, like in LA, and I saw this clip on Facebook the next day, and here's the clip.
The past 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so, and there are massive fireworks going off pretty much in every direction that you see here. Jasmine, our local fire departments and police departments have been begging people not to do this, right? But it seems tonight they are not listening to those calls.
Well, and they're putting up new warnings on social media. I mean, they're saying safe and sane are even banned in the majority of cities in LA County, not to mention the city of LA has a ban as well. We know many of the public shows have been canceled, so we've done stories on this. More people have been, unfortunately, setting off illegal fireworks. I mean, it is quite the sight, but this is not supposed to be happening. I mean, you could be fined up to $50,000.
So you see, in this clip on Facebook, like, it's illegal to shoot off these fireworks, and they're still, I mean, it's going. Now, I'm not generally advocating illegality, but what I am suggesting here is that humans just don't do well with what they perceive as oppression. And in this case, they're perceiving it as oppression from COVID or whatever else. I think about the protesters after George Floyd. When African Americans see themselves as "that could be me," they sincerely saw themselves as "that could be me," and then that is leading to massive protests. I think with the rioters, it's a little different. You know, rioters who want to loot and pillage and tear down statues. I think that's not the same thing. That's a whole different set. But I think what's going on there is that these people are straight up legit Marxists who see that they're doing something good, that they think that they're tearing down the oppressive state. They believe that they're opposing oppression. Now, as wrongheaded as they are, like, I had someone just was telling me about, well, revolution isn't bad, is it? We had the American Revolution. Okay, so one, let's back up a second. The American Revolution was in a totally different character. And I'm going to talk about that in a subsequent episode, because it's become important when you see stupid memes like the Boston Tea Party is, and compare it to what's going on with the riots. No such thing. But they believe in 1776, they were opposing oppression, and they really were. Here, the rioters actually believe, many rioters that are people that are tearing down statues, that they're doing something good, that they're opposing oppression. I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt that that's what they believe, even if I think they're doing it in a completely backwards, ill-advised way. So they believe that. So protesters believe what they believe, and I can see that. I mean, that feels clear. I can see it. The rioters, but here's another one. Conservatives who can't get behind Black Lives Matter and then they're silenced or they are canceled, they are feeling oppressed as well when they feel like their free speech is being oppressed by this malignant new theory and the policy of thought control that follows with it that says, like, if you must be a white supremacist unless you admit that you are one. And if you don't admit that you are one, that's evidence that you are one. So they're reacting and opposing this oppression as well. They might be doing it silently, but they're doing it. And it's not because they're racist. It's because they're opposing what they perceive as oppression. Okay, so when the city paints Black Lives Matter on a street, and you got to understand Black Lives Matter comes with more than just the name. I mean, I can get behind the sentiment, but I can't get behind a organization or a cause that envelops, for example, they're very heavy into pro-choice, anti-traditional family, promoting a lifestyle that biblically I just see as incompatible, or all kinds of things that Black Lives Matter is doing that I can't get behind. So when the city then writes it in big letters all over the streets, I'm thinking, like, what on earth? What, how, you know? So that's a really a poke in the eye to half the population that holds these traditional values. Had they, however, and so what they're doing is they're creating oppression, and people will push back against it. Had they, however, written something like this, equal justice under law, everyone can sign up because there's no political baggage to that, or all men are created equal. Now, even if you go, oh, but all men weren't created equal in 1776. Okay, even if that was the case, the seed was planted in 1776 that Dr. King would then say, hey, by the way, you've written a check that we need to cash. Okay, so if you had written equal justice under law or all men are created equal, you would have everybody with you. You wouldn't have people pushing back. So at this point, I was going to talk about the colonists shaking off oppression because people are just, they're almost illiterate about all the things that happened leading up to the Declaration, but I'm going to push that off to another episode because it is important that you understand it. It's just that we don't understand it. But you have to understand the main theme of this. Human beings buck oppression everywhere they go. And whether that is the African-Americans seeing George Floyd turning into protest, the rioters who are unfortunately thinking that they're doing something good by tearing down statues, or whether it's the conservative, they can't really go with you with Black Lives Matter as a statement because of the political baggage, but they would be willing to say something else, some equivalent that doesn't have the political baggage. Each group sees that as oppression, and you have to understand that that is how they're seeing it, or you're going to miss a lot and just think, well, they're bad. No, they're bad. No, they're bad. Each group throws off oppression, and human beings throw off oppression. That is what they do. And they do it in smaller ways as well. So I mean, even thinking about the coronavirus, like I was at the dentist this morning for the first time since well before the coronavirus. And so at the dentist, there's all these policies, like there's stuff on the door saying, hey, you have to wait out in the car and wait to be called in, all these extra protections, but they're still bucking the oppression of the coronavirus, if that makes sense. Like I had six kids, so we had the run of the place for an hour because that's a lot of people to serve quickly. Zoom meetings, we're throwing off the oppression of the coronavirus when we're having Zoom meetings, when we're doing delivery and takeout. All these are ways that we're pushing back against a system that's keeping things down. I have a neighbor that plays in the garage. He's a musician, and that's what he does normally. So when the coronavirus hit, he decided that he was going to open up his garage and play concerts for the neighborhood. Now, he lived on a corner right across the street, was like almost a grassy area, and it was kind of a hit, and we look forward to it each week. Let me show you a clip. She's that sweet. Just like honey, baby. So what he did there was push back against the oppressive feel of quarantine. And that's what human beings do. When people are wearing masks, don't assume that they're just a lemming. When people are not wearing masks, don't assume that they're just selfish. Look, people wearing masks and people not wearing masks, both are probably people of goodwill. And some are wearing masks thinking, hey, this is the right thing to do. And some are not wearing masks thinking, well, I'm not going to subscribe to government's overreach, commanding me to do this. okay, I understand it. Now, I come down in a different place. I think of putting the mask on not as a subservience to a, as a lemming to government, but as I'm trying to love my neighbor by not passing things along to them. People on both sides of that are reacting to what they, believe to be oppression. Okay, so now in the organization, this is also important as well. Because people are still humans when they go to work, it turns out. I mean, who would have thought, right? So if you're a manager, don't be oppressive in the way that you treat your people. I'm just going to tell them what to do. What you're going to do is get a backlash because of a normal, you're going to invoke that same reactive experience, that same reactive part of human beings that it was there in this revolution in 1776, just on a smaller scale, okay? And so, like, you know, don't think like, I know what to do because I had that job 25 years ago. 25 years ago, you weren't even on the internet. So things change. Listen to people. Hear what they have to say. When you give an order, you create a certain reaction. When you ask a question, it creates a very different reaction. If you disallow them to develop, to grow, to become what they could be, to rise to their full stature in taking on their job responsibilities, you are impairing them and they react to that. How do they react to that? Well, they chafe against the system because even this minor oppression, human beings react to oppression. So slow down. They will do things predictively. So if you undermine them, disallow them from using their skill sets, take the credit for things that they do, they will seek to transfer, or they will sabotage the job, or they will, you know, leave the company. People join organizations but leave bosses, and that's because bosses are the ones doing the oppression, not the organization. Okay, this is human nature, and if you understand human nature, you can lead differently. So that's what I'm trying to tell you, is people don't react well to perceived oppression anywhere. And I gave society examples and I gave business examples. But if you understand that, you can become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. So here's the quotation for contemplation for today. It's the first law of performance from the book, The Three Laws of Performance. This is it. How people perform correlates with how situations occur to them. And what I'm saying here is simply this. They perceive this thing and they act in accordance with it. So if they perceive oppression for whatever reason, whichever direction they're coming from, they react in a very predictable way. And if you know this, you can dial back the perceived oppression by your actions, by the way that you reach out to them, by the way that you dialogue with them, by the way that you open communication channels. I hope that helps you think about human nature, oppression, and leadership. Thanks for your time. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.